if nobody else loved me, I still know there's one that does. All right. Praise the Lord for that. He's good. Preaching through the series in Ecclesiastes, and this is our third Sunday in Ecclesiastes. Last week we preached about the empire of dirt, and if you're interested and would like to hear any of those, if you had missed them, they are on the website on eternallifebaptist.com. The first two messages are there. We're studying Ecclesiastes and the theology of nothing, because as we talked about in the first week in our first message, that Solomon, after all of the things that he tried in life, after all of the things that he pursued, he determined that everything is nothing apart from God. And we certainly understand, those of us who are believers, that that is true. Everything is nothing apart from God. We can pursue everything this life has to offer. We can have everything this life has to offer. But as the one English author stated, I wish someone had told me that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. And over again, we've heard testimony. We've seen those who have been in the secular world and have achieved greatness and a high level of success and all that the world has to offer. And then they say, this can't be all there is. And they're right. It's not all there is. There's something more. And his name is Jesus. And Solomon speaks to us from his word in the book of Ecclesiastes about these things. So let's begin this morning in chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to start off with verse 9, which simply states, two are better than one. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray this morning in these moments, Father, I pray that you would move me aside. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people through your word and by your Holy Spirit. And that, Father, I would say nothing more, nothing less than exactly what you would have to be said, and that you would speak to our hearts from your word to change us. And Lord, we thank you that we know that because of Jesus, there is hope. We ask that you would bless and help us during this time in his name. Amen. And in 1948, there were two brothers by the names of Richard and Maurice McDonald. Does that sound familiar? Does that name ring a bell? They converted their barbecue drive-in with car hops into the world's first McDonald's. It was a limited menu self-service drive-in. The world's first McDonald's is in St. Bernardino, California. And there was one restaurant serving one community in San Bernardino, California. San Bernardino, I'll say it right. California. Then, a few years later in 1954, there was a man by the name that you'll probably recognize maybe even more closely with McDonald's. His name was Ray Kroc. And Ray Kroc mortgaged his home. He invested his entire life savings into becoming an exclusive distributor of a five-spindled milkshake mixer called the Multi-Mixer. That's where he had started. That's what he was doing, selling the Multi-Mixer. But he heard about this place called McDonald's, a little stand in California. So he decided that he was going to go out there and check them out because they were running 8 six-spindle multi-mixers at one time. So he packed up his car and he headed west. And Ray Kroc said he had never seen so many people served so quickly in all of his life. He walked into the restaurant, he met these two brothers, and he offered them a simple idea. He said, why don't you open up more than one restaurant? Well, why would we want to do that? Well, secretly, he was convinced that he could sell every one of those 8 six-spindle multi-mix mixers, milkshake mixers. But they said, well, who are we going to get to open them for us? He said, what about me? I think I could do it. And so in 1955, Ray Kroc opened the first McDonald's franchise in Des Plaines, Illinois. And as they say, the rest is history. Today, there are 31,000 McDonald's approximately at any given time in 119 countries. And the franchise model was started and has exploded ever since. But along with Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse, Ronald McDonald serves as the third most recognized figure in all the world. And so how did all that happen? It happened because Ray Kroc understood the principle that's found in the Bible that we see right here in Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. And there's an unbelievable power in partnership. And it goes beyond addition to multiplication, really. And so, you know, not even the Lone Ranger was all alone. He had Tonto, right? Two are always better than one. So God made us for relationships. Even though he created Adam first, Eve was always on the radar screen. I mean, before all of creation, God knew all of the history of his creation. He knew that Eve was going to come into the picture. And we're told the exact reason why woman was created. Genesis chapter 2, in the first part of verse 18, it says, "It is not good that man should be alone." It's not good that the man should be alone. So God knows two things about every one of us. He knows two things that we need to be reminded of today. First is that everybody needs somebody. And secondly, somebody is needed by everybody. Okay? Somebody needs everybody, and everybody needs somebody. Loners, by the way, live very lonely lives. Makes sense, doesn't it? They live very lonely lives. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs that says in chapter 18 and verse 1, "Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." And one of the most fascinating things you will find if you've ever studied anything about psychology and the psychology of serial killers is that the vast majority of them are loners. That doesn't mean that all loners are serial killers, okay? But the vast majority of serial killers are loners. There's something to that. And that's part of the problem mentioned in verse 8 of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, "There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is sore travail." There's a man who put all of his eggs in one basket, the money-making basket, at the expense of family, at the expense of friends. He chose riches over relationships. His fortune portfolio was full, but his family and friends' portfolio was empty. He gained all of this stuff, and then he says, "But for whom do I labor? Who do I bereave my soul of good?" It's vanity. Certainly Solomon is one who's speaking here as one who had gained everything. And while he was surrounded with a lot of people, had at some point in his life ostracized himself to the point of loneliness. You know, you can be surrounded by a lot of people, but shut them off and shut them out and be lonely and alone. Like Ebenezer Scrooge, this is a person here who fails to realize that life is really about two types of relationships. The vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others. They're both necessary and both beneficial to us as human beings. It's the way that God created it. So when we're in a series of messages here about nothing, I think we've gotten that by now, by the third Sunday. This is a series about nothing. You heard that right. Solomon, the wisest, the wealthiest man who ever lived, he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes, which basically says, without God, there is nothing under this sun that is worth anything. It's all basically nothing. And so the message this morning is nothing personal. Nothing personal. And for this reason, if you think about it, in life, we have a lot of personal relationships. But nothing in life, even when we try to be a loner, is completely personal. Because everything we do affects someone else in some way. Relationships, vertical and horizontal, are what really give life joy. It's what gives life meaning. It's what gives life fulfillment. Now, there's many times that I'll be sitting in my office here, and as I'm working on a message or a lesson or thinking about things or praying, I will sit back in my chair and I look up at the wall where I have a large picture of my family. And I look at each one of them. I look at their faces. And I think about each one of them and their unique personalities and the relationship that I have to each one of them as husband and as father, the relationship between father and sons and father and daughters, and all the blessing that they are to me. You know, while I want to do all that I do in life by God's grace to glorify God, I also want to do it to help them and because I love them and because those relationships are important to me. I want to continue to serve God and stay close to God and love God and honor God with my life because there are those in my life who are affected by what I do. And there's a lot of things I do that mean nothing. But there are things that have eternal bearing. Those are the things we do for God. Those are the things we do to honor God. Those are the things we do that please God. So relationships, vertical and horizontal, are extremely important. Number one this morning, two are more personally profitable than one. Let's look at the whole verse in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. They're better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, it's true that two can reach more than one. Two can do more than one. Two can make more than one. Two can return more than one. And so it's a good principle. So have you ever heard somebody say about a worker, man, he can do the work of two men? Well, it sounds good, but it's really impossible. One man can't do the work of two men unless those two men happen to be really, really weak. Okay. You ever been in a job that depended on two people and one of them didn't show up? You didn't like doing the work of two men or two women, did you? You were wishing the other man or woman was there because two are better than one. We share the burden, we share the load. Only two can do the work of two. But the principle here is that when two men work together, they have to divide the profits. But they'll each still end up better off and have better returns for their efforts than if they worked alone. So, did you realize that the highest paid lawyers, the highest paid attorneys in the country work in firms? They're not the ones that work alone, but those who work alongside other lawyers. The fact of the matter is, every one of us in this church pulling together can get a lot more done than any one of us could ever do on our own. God gave us each other. He gave us relationships. He gave us one another. No matter how gifted any of us might be, we can't do everything alone. And if we try to, it's disastrous. And there's no reason we should try to or think that we can. Because we are a unit. We are a body of Christ. And all of the parts must function together in unity. Has it ever really occurred to you that there's really three things that we all need, but you can never have alone? We need companionship. Try that on your own. We can't have companionship. We can't even be a companion to ourselves. We need comfort. So try to comfort yourself. It just doesn't work the same as when someone's there to offer comfort. We need counsel. But we can't counsel ourselves. Two are better than one. Two are better than one because we need to be loved. We need to be served. We need to be comforted. And we need to do these things in return. We need to be edified, and we need to be exhorted, and we need to be prayed for. We need to be able to do that for one another. You ever been going through something in your life, and you can sense the reality of the prayers of others in your life? People are praying for you. And I've felt that so many times in my life, and you know, except for being in that position, it's hard to explain. But, you know, I remember going through some particularly dark times in my life and people calling me up or seeing someone and they would say, listen, I'm praying for you. And, you know, many times I'd say, you know what, I know you are and a lot of people are because God is sustaining and helping and walking through this with us. And there's only one explanation, and that's that people are praying. I can pray myself and sometimes feel so weak in the midst of a trial, in the midst of difficulty and tragedy, and not even know the words to pray, but the Holy Spirit ministers to my heart and uses the prayers of other people to encourage and to help me and to touch the heart of God to move in my life. Prayer is important. The companionship of prayer, the companionship of God's people, the unity of God's people, we can do so much more together. Two are better than one because we need to be loved, served, edified, prayed for. And that can only happen with personal relationships that feed off each other. Secondly, two are more personally protected than one. Chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." To a Jewish reader, he would understand clearly what Solomon was saying here right from the get-go, because roads and pathways in Palestine, they were not paved. They were not all level. They were not smooth. They were rough and many times treacherous. There are a lot of hidden rocks. There were potholes. There were sometimes pits along the road. It wasn't uncommon for someone to fall and to become injured or even break a bone or become harmed as they're traveling these roads. And the fact of the matter is that as you walk down this rocky, difficult road of life, there's at least two times when you're going to need someone, because you're going to go down. Sometimes you're going to fall down, and other times you're going to get knocked down. But regardless of whether you fall down through something that you do yourself or whether you're knocked down because of the actions of others, you need someone who will be there to pick you back up. You ever notice how much better you feel, even if you're really not that much safer, just to walk down a dark alley with someone with you? Gives you a little more confidence, makes you feel a little more secure. Now, maybe both of you are completely unable of defending anyone, okay? Maybe that's the case. But the companionship makes it seem more bearable. You distract one another with conversation. You're both watching your surroundings. You just feel more at ease because of the companionship. Well, sometimes in life, as we're going along through life, we can't stop all of the trials many times that come into our life. But we can be there with those who have fallen into trials. And we can pray with them, and we can weep with them, and we can help to pick them up spiritually. And when someone falls spiritually or falls into sin, we can be there to bind up their wounds and to lovingly bring them back to Christ and to show the love and care of Jesus and not leave them there to bleed out spiritually on the field of life. Two are better than one because we are more personally protected. And the fact of the matter is we're going to fall. One way or the other. For those of us living, here in the north, we know that on the coldest days of winter, sometimes, especially if your vehicle's parked outside and if your battery's a little weak, you might go out in the morning and the car won't crank over. The battery's too weak. The remedy is for another battery to be hooked up and to give it a jump start. And that's exactly what we need to do for each other. We need to be ready to give a spiritual or emotional jump start to those who have fallen, to those who are down, to those who need to be lifted back up. You've probably heard of Jackie Robinson, especially if you're a baseball fan. He was the first black man ever to play in the major leagues. And the first year or two that he was in the major leagues, he faced a lot of jeering and criticism and in these crowds. And he's playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, and he committed an error. And his own fans begin to ridicule him and mock him and chant things against him. And he stood at second base with his head down, and he's humiliated as the fans are just unmercifully booing him. And shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over next to him. And he stood next to him and put his arm around him. And he looked straight up into the faces and into the eyes of as many people in that crowd as he could. He just stood there. Then it took a few minutes and the fans grew quiet. Jackie Robinson said later in his life that Pee Wee Reese literally saved his career when he just came and quietly stood by him that day. You see, that's one of the reasons that two are better than one. When one falls, there's another to pick him up. There's another to help him along the way. probably all of us could think of people that God has put in our path throughout the course of our life that have helped us in countless ways. Whether it's with our family, whether it's with our spiritual life, whether it is with our jobs, any number of things that God has done. Where we know that God used other people to bring a blessing into our life and to help us. So two are more personally profitable than one, and two are more personally protected than one. And then thirdly this morning, two are more personally productive than one. Two are more personally productive. Chapter 4 and verse 11, and our text goes on. It says again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And so there are some that think this refers to married partners, and you know, who can deny that on a cold winter night, it is nice to snuggle up to the husband or the wife and warm up that way. But you know, there are other situations where in a cold situation, people have huddled together to save lives, to stay warm. Because the body heat of many in an adverse situation and in a difficult cold climate can keep others alive. There have been those who have been left shipwrecked in the water, and they'll gather together in large groups, and they'll rotate who's in the middle of that group and who's on the outside of that group to help keep the body temperature up a little bit more, to try to keep hypothermia from setting in so quickly. Two are better than one. Well, the truth is, God gives us partners. In marriage, He gives husbands and wives and families. He gives brothers and sisters. In life, He gives friends and companions. In church, He gives us church family. And because there's strength in numbers, God has done this. See, there's strength when a man finds a wife. Proverbs 18:22 tells us, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Wife is a blessing, man. Don't ever forget that. A blessing from God is to be loved and cherished and honored and protected. And you know what? Many times one of the best things about us as men is our wives. I can tell you from my own experience throughout my life, having a good woman of God to stand with me and to go through life with me has been a blessing many, many times. There have been times when I've been personally or spiritually or emotionally discouraged that I've been uplifted. There have been times when there was no one else to talk to, that there was someone there. There have been times when I needed someone to talk to or somewhere to cry. You see, two are better than one. God intended it for a purpose. There's also strength when a man and a wife have children. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are a heritage. You know, sadly, we live in a culture that many people consider their children a disease. I mean, if you just go out and in our culture, in our society, and watch, many times watch people with their small children, I have more than one time had to bite my tongue because of the way a parent was treating a child, berating them. Just recently, I was in a place where someone was calling their child an idiot. You want to talk about anger? That angers me. Don't call your child an idiot. You be a parent and teach them right from wrong. You discipline them where they need discipline, a biblical way, in a godly fashion. You live by example to show them right from wrong. And when you fail, you show them where you have failed and ask their forgiveness. And teach them to do the same. I'm not a perfect parent. My children are not perfect. But by God's grace, we want to be a good model of what a family in Christ ought to be. And it terrifies me as a husband and as a father to think that a bad decision on my part in my life, spiritually or otherwise, will harm my family. Or God forbid, the worst possible outcome, that it would push them away from God. Men, thank God if you have a good wife. Women, thank God if you have a good husband. There are some whose husbands or wives have gone to be with the Lord. Thank God for the time that God gave you. Children, thank God for parents who will discipline you and teach you right from wrong and love you enough to care to give you discipline. Parents, love and honor your children with respect. And show your love and respect by teaching them. Because they're a heritage from the Lord. Children are to be to a family what arrows are to an archer. They give strength and confidence. We need someone to warn us on those days when our lives turn cold. When that east wind of trouble blows, we're buried under a blizzard of heartache. When the chill of depression and discouragement settle in, and it wants to freeze our very heart, we need the warmth of a hug. The warmth of a word from someone who will encourage us or lovingly admonish us. Two are more productive than one. I can't tell you times throughout my life when I've been in a period of my life where I was discouraged and down, and it's been my wife who's encouraged my heart and helped me, and vice versa. Two are more productive than one. So what we've seen is the energy of synergy, as they call it. Now, when synergy, which is that unbelievable chemistry of working together, when that takes over, loads are halved, but rewards are doubled. So when you do the math, you find out that 1 + 1 is greater than 2 in relationships. But there's still more truth about the importance of relationships that brings the vertical relationship into play. That brings us to number 4. There are more personally powerful. 3 are more personally powerful than 2. We've been talking about 2, how that 2 are more personally profitable, and 2 are more personally protected, and 2 are more personally productive, but 3 are more personally powerful than 2. Verse 12 in the first part of Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "And if one prevail against him, 2 shall withstand him." You know, one of the first things Marines are taught when they're preparing for warfare, they're taught to dig a foxhole. In fact, that's where the term dig in or digging in comes from. Did you know also that they're taught in boot camp to dig a foxhole large enough for 2 people? Why? Because of the principle found here in this verse. If one prevail against him, 2 shall withstand him. During World War II, the Japanese conducted experiments to find the most effective type of punishment or torture to get information from prisoners. You know what they discovered? They found that more effective than beatings or any other kind of torture was solitary confinement. That, they found, was the worst, most horrible thing that they could do to people. And they found that just after several days of solitary confinement in horrible conditions, and soldiers would tell them anything they wanted to know. You see, when someone attacks your character or defiles your reputation or tries to spread a rumor, we need someone to rush to our aid. Friends will take our part when others are trying to take us apart. You see, 2 are more powerful than 1, and that's why everybody needs somebody. If anybody feels like they don't need somebody, then nobody can help them, okay? We all need someone. Everybody needs somebody, and we need each other. I came across the following piece that says it really well. It gives insight into the power of partnerships. It goes like this. How important are you? More than you think. A rooster minus a hen equals no baby chicks. Kellogg minus a farmer equals no cornflakes. If the nail factory closes, what good is the hammer factory? A cracker maker will do better if there's a cheesemaker. The most skillful surgeon needs an ambulance to deliver the patient. Just simple, simple things. But think about how much all of our world, all of our culture, and all of our lives are so interdependent upon one another, and yet how so frequently we want to push everyone away. We don't want to share our burdens with one another because, you know why? Many times we live this kind of fake plasticky Christianity where we put on this big plastic smile and we want everybody to think that everything's great in my life and everything's wonderful and I'm super spiritual and holy and I got everything together. And God forbid that I should let my guard down for just a moment and take the mask off and let you see who I really am and let you know that I am a sinner saved by grace and I have problems and faults just like everybody else. And you know what? I need you to pray for me when I am spiritually down, when I am emotionally downtrodden. I need you to pray for me when I am hurting, when my family is hurting. I need you to pray for me when I have spiritual difficulties and I'm struggling with something spiritually. I need you to pray for more than just my physical well-being, which we need to do, and we do, and that's great. But we need to pray and bear one another's spiritual burdens, because there are many of us who are praying for and having needs in our life prayed for, but we need more. We need to say, we don't have to air dirty laundry, but maybe in prayer time, say, listen, I just need you to pray for me. I'm struggling with some stuff. And I just need God to help me. And I need your prayers. And if we will for one second look down our self-righteous nose at them, then we are the one who need more prayer than them. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we all need someone. We need someone to pray for us and to encourage us and to love us and to help us. And we have God. We have that relationship vertically, but He's given us all of these relationships horizontally to enforce and reinforce one another in our journey through life. Everybody needs somebody. Just as Rodgers and Hammerstein needed one another, we need someone. Someone needs you. So it's an undeniable and incontrovertible fact. Two are better than one. Two are safer than one. Two are warmer than one. Two are stronger than one. But the math of personal relationships gets even better as we find out that three are even better than two. Notice the last part of verse 12, which is the last verse of our text this morning. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So keep in mind that in verse 8, Solomon started with the number 1. Then he moved to the number 2 in verse 9. And then closes here with the number 3. Did you know that the strongest rope is made of at least 3 cords? One cord can be snapped very easily. 2 requires a little more strength. But 3 strands cannot be quickly broken. This has been played out in real life throughout history. It's true of a rope, but it's also true of a marriage. Now, a man and a woman can have a good marriage with just the two of them, and they can do okay, and they can get along. But the strongest marriage of all is where there are 3, the man and his wife and the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the marriage revolves around a relationship with God, and when the man loves God more than he loves his wife, and when a wife loves God more than she loves her husband, they will love each other like they never otherwise could. There is but one in this world, or in all of creation, that I want my wife to love more than me, and that's her Savior. Because if she loves Him more, she'll love me the way she should. If I love Him more, I'll love her the way I should. You see, 3 are more personally powerful than 2. You know that regardless of how the economy and the airline industry goes, there's one job that's proven to be the most secure in the entire industry? No, it's not the pilots. It's not the attendants. It's not even the airframe and engine mechanics. The most secure jobs are some of the ones that are lowest on the payroll. They're those men and women on the tarmac who carry those orange flashlights. They are indispensable. Even though a pilot is trained to handle that massive plane and he can maneuver different types of jets and he can get them off the ground and he can get them through the air and he can get them on the ground, They can't park a plane by themselves. Did you know that? They can fly all over the world, but when they land, they're completely dependent on a three-man ground crew that is required by the FAA. One is the marshaller. He's in front of the plane. And one is a wing talker or wing walker, and the other is the one who is the wing walker's partner. So they're basically both wing walkers. But you have one on each wing and one in front of the plane. You ever notice them if you've flown and you get ready to leave the gate or when you're coming into the gate, those people who are on either side and in front of the plane, that plane would not safely leave the walkway and find its way to the runway without those three individuals doing their job properly and in proper communication. Every time you land in a plane, remember that. You can fly thousands of miles, but you can't even get off the plane at the airport without remembering that nothing is personal. And we need others to help us get to our final destination. Others are important. Never has there been a time when husbands and wives need to stick together, when brothers and sisters need to stick together, when friends and family and companions need to stick together. Never has there been a time when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to stick together more than today. Everything that is righteous is under attack on every front. More than ever, we need to remember the importance of having close personal relationships with others, and that those relationships are maximized by the third party. And His name is God. His Son is Christ. That is where the power of relationships is. Two are better than one, but a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You want to have the best friendships, make sure it's centered around God. You want to have the best marriage, make sure it's centered around God. You want to have the best business partnerships, make sure it's centered around God. You want to have the best friendships, we want to have the best, most united church, make sure it's all centered around God. Because without God, it's all vanity. It's nothing. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank You this morning that You give us so many wonderful truths and principles in Your Word. As we've seen this morning, truly nothing in life is personal. We are all beholden to You. We are all created by You. Those of us who are saved are Your children. And God, may we be very diligent in keeping our relationship with You strong. May we also be diligent in keeping our horizontal relationships with others strong and healthy and centered around Your Word and around our Savior. Father, I pray for marriages that may be struggling. I pray for friendships that are hurting. I pray for brothers and sisters or family relationships that are suffering. God, may we understand that the healing that is needed in any of these areas is for You to be brought into the picture and for us to approach things with the love of God, the truth of God, and the love for one another. Lord, we ask for Your help in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.